Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody here from Chicago, and thank you for joining our show today. In this podcast, we have the honor and privilege of interviewing Mr. Anthony Figuera. He is the Chief Technology Officer and co-founder of Rootstrap, based out of California, and they are one of the leaders in artificial intelligence and machine learning. We've done a number of podcasts on that, so today we're going to segue a little bit and talk about something that's been making headlines quite a bit, the blockchain. So, Anthony, thank you for coming, and let's go ahead and get started, please.
Thank you, Ravi. It's a pleasure to be on your show again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So what is your involvement in the history, in the blockchain history?
Yes, I got involved in the, in the crypto space, in the blockchain space, really early because, probably interest, technical interest, personal interest. Everything started with a white paper in 2008. That's the year. And the community has been building things for years now. And I really found it was interesting. And, you learn a lot about, to be honest, the Bitcoin was the first killer app of the blockchain. And just getting involved in that space, you learn a lot about economical systems, about money, about what money means, what everything related to exchange of goods and consensus, and how price is a signal across different markets. So my first approach to this technology was a technical approach, trying to understand what's the technology behind that, trying to understand what's the potential impact in the long term. I probably underestimated it for a few years, but today it's probably impossible to ignore it. And We are going way beyond, the first example of a blockchain application, which was the Bitcoin. I mean, the technology behind the Bitcoin, which is the blockchain, is way more powerful and it has way more applications than just a cryptocurrency, which is no small thing.
Right. Okay. Now, we all have been hearing about Bitcoin, about investing in it, and the ups and downs, and how Bitcoin, also from a cyber standpoint, being used to pay the ransom payments. What is the difference between the blockchain and the Bitcoin? Is one just a subset of the other, or how does that work?
No, the blockchain, it's just a specific type of database. It's a type of database where each block, each piece of data that you have in the database, it has a cryptographic relation with the previous block. And you can see that like as a linear chain of blocks. And the full history of transactions can be stored in the blockchain. And the Bitcoin was the first example of application really working on the top of a blockchain. And when we talk about the Bitcoin, we have a public ledger that stores every single transaction that happened from day zero until today on the Bitcoin blockchain. There are multiple blockchains. There are different types of blockchains. And if we are talking about the Bitcoin, we're talking about the mainnet, the main Bitcoin blockchain. which is, like most blockchains, decentralized, and every single node of the blockchain, every single person has a node of the blockchain. They have the entire copy of every single transaction that happened, which is something that can be done to, you know, there are many things that can be achieved with that. You can achieve economical credibility because you have all the transactions that ever happened. You can have a logistic supply chain information, you know, what happened with your raw materials all the way to your final product, what is the whole chain of value, and you can store that in a blockchain. So to summarize, a blockchain is just a database, a specific type of database. There are, and Bitcoin is a currency that uses this database to store every single transaction that happened since day zero. And there are protocols to approve transactions, basically to avoid double spending. There are protocols to create new Bitcoins, but this is you know, the main takeaway. Blockchain is a database. Bitcoin is one application on the top of that database.
Okay. This sounds excellent. Now, what types of blockchains exist?
Basically, you can divide into three main categories. You have the public blockchains like the Bitcoin blockchain, Ethereum, which is another cryptocurrency. There are Solana is another public blockchain, which means that if you have a wallet, if you have the right, if you create a wallet, which you need some private keys for that, if you want to operate into that blockchain, if you want to check everything that happened on that blockchain, everything is public and it can be inspected. A different type of blockchain is a private blockchain, which is a blockchain. It's running on a private server. Some people have access to that private blockchain. It can be used, for example, for medical records, for healthcare information. It can be used for traceability on a supply chain. It can be used for specific companies. It can be used for universities. It can be used for many things. The one thing about blockchains is that data, once it's in the blockchain, it's irreversible. It doesn't have undo. The blocks are immutable. So once you have something in the blockchain, that's data that has been validated by some type of protocol. And that's the most important thing. So you can have public blockchains, you can have private blockchains. The idea behind both are the same. And then when you have some hybrid approach, which are permissioned blockchains, which means that only people with certain cryptographic keys and permissions are able to operate or are able to see what's going on in the blockchain. And it can be a public blockchain, but with a permission layer on the top of that. And that has some applications, but it's not the most common one. By far, public blockchains are the most common ones.
Okay. What are the latest trends that you're seeing? See, I'm still very much a novice with the blockchain and, you know, the Bitcoins and all that, but what are the trends that you're seeing? being the AI specialist?
Yeah, this is the blockchain space is one of the areas that we are seeing more innovation today. The ecosystem is just amazing and huge. And one thing that happens, if you take one specific technology, one computer language, one framework, it creates an isolated ecosystem. With the blockchain, we have different blockchains. We have Bitcoin blockchain, we have Ethereum blockchain, we have Solana blockchain, we have Polkadot blockchain. And each one of these blockchains, and we have a lot of them, I just named the most common one, they have a community and they are building applications on the top of that. There are different layers of technology on the top of different blockchains. Layer one is the foundational technology, the cryptographic technology, the database. Layer two stands to some business logic on the top of that, what's called smart contracts, different payment mechanisms, a new concept called side chains and different things like that. Layer three is it stands for interoperability between blockchains, and layer four are different applications on the top of that. On each one of these levels, there are multiple innovations happening, multiple trends. I'm sure that you heard about NFTs. NFTs are very trendy right now. We're kind of in the hype cycle, which means that probably a lot of these projects are going to crash sometime, but others are just thriving, you know. NFTs are some special type of tokens that are stored in the blockchain, and it stands to for non-fungible tokens, so you can uniquely identify a digital asset using blockchain technology. So the first case for that are collectibles. If you have a digital collectible, you can sign using different techniques and create what's called an NFT, which is a unique token that represents your ownership of that digital asset. And, there are a few collectibles sold, millions of dollars. Chuck Dorsey, Twitter's founder, he minted, which is the process of creating this token, his first tweet ever, and he sold that NFT on $3.9 million. We have cases of auction companies, the biggest in the world, like Christie's. They are selling NFTs and they are getting eight figures for that. And it's just a huge space that is growing like crazy right now. And the first NFT projects, which basically there are images that are, they are early adopters. Some early adopters, they created some art. They created tokens for that art, and those tokens started to be exchanged in exchange of crypto. And, as an example, the CryptoPunks, this is an early project, and today CryptoPunks are worth like $10 million at least. So that's huge. And it has a lot of security risk, all types of, because this space is so new, we have so many people that's just coming to the space. There are a lot of scammers, but also there are really true and valid points to be, considered here.
Okay, excellent. Now, what are smart contracts?
Smart contracts are a way to streamline transactions based on rules to make everything, the rules can be totally transparent. If you think, just to give you an example, you can hire an insurance that you are going to get your money back if your flight is canceled. And you can automate everything. You can pull information about flights, and if the flight is canceled, you don't have to do anything. That money that you are supposed to get from the insurance will get, you receive that money automatically after the smart contract detects that the flight was canceled. If you have a health insurance and you need a prescription and you're going to get a refund from your insurance company, everything can be done automatically with smart contracts. Basically, you can think about that like it's something that lives in the blockchain, actually in the top of the blockchain, and it has a set of rules that triggers transactions. And that's another problem too, because that transactions can be, you can have frauds, you can have people can execute smart contracts and create undesirable results. So a lot of the conversation today is how to regulate smart contracts. And there are different approaches to that. You can regulate smart contracts by making sure that the owner of the smart contract is not anonymous, so he can have some accountability. You can audit a smart contract, which to me it's a bit weird because these things can be complex and not everything is so straightforward when you're coding a smart contract, and there can be side effects or hidden code in some ways that can generate things that are not totally ethical. So it's a debate right now, how we make sure that scammers are not having a party with smart contracts and automating, scams.
Okay, excellent. Now, what are the risks associated with investments in the blockchain and cryptocurrencies, especially from a cyber standpoint? We know that that's the Bitcoin's favorite tool to use to pay for ransom payments, but what are the other risks, from both the security and cybersecurity standpoint?
Yeah, there are multiple things to take into consideration. First of all, this is an extremely volatile asset. I mean, values can go up and down very fast. People that own, let's say, bitcoins or corporations, now we are having a lot more of corporate money coming to the ecosystem, and bigger corporations, they have a better opportunity for market manipulation, for trading with the news to spread rumors, and probably retailers or small investors they can be, you know, they can lose a lot of money with this, all this volatility, with all these ups and downs, what's called short squeezes, long squeezes. If you have enough liquidity and you have enough money to keep your position, you won't be liquidated. But if you are a small investor, you can be out of the game very quickly. That's the nature of the beast in some ways. If you are investing in like trading, and that's one part of what you can invest. You can also invest on mining, which is, it's basically an arms race. The way the protocol is established and the way new bitcoins are issued is by proving that you have enough computer power to solve a mathematical equations in which you have to, it's a guess game. You guess a hash, and if you are right, you get a reward for that. And that's used for validating transactions. So we have huge Bitcoin farms. Today it's an industry. It has everything related to industries. You know, you need a lot of electricity, you need maintenance, you need people working like in a data center to keep all the miners up and running 24/7 or 99% of the time. And you can invest in that ecosystem as well. I mean, that's kind of more predictable. Because you are investing in mining, you know how difficult it is to mine bitcoins, how much you're investing, how much you might have as a return. Also risky, subject to the price of cryptocurrencies. And also today there are what's called DeFi, decentralized finances, and there are a bunch of projects into that space, you know, like borrowing money, providing liquidity pools, providing the ability for people to more easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies. Today most of the exchanges, they accept credit cards, they take a fee. There are a lot of everything that you see in the traditional finance world today is being replicated in a decentralized way on the top of the blockchain. So you can trade futures, you can trade with leverage, you can trade derivatives, you can use crypto to buy stocks in the stock market. So, you know, it's a risky business, but growing. And I mean, if you started at least like 5 years ago, it's almost impossible not to have made a lot of money. With all that said, there are a lot of shady people in the ecosystem, you know. And to me, the main risk, which is not totally associated with normal investment risks, are social risks, you know, social hacking. Mm-hmm. Blockchain security is not only about network security. It's not only about database security. Blockchain is a social technical construct, and you can be fooled, and you can, you know, there is a lot of phishing, there are a lot of misleading messages trying to steal people's keys. And by the way, I didn't say that this, but the most important thing that you have when you have a wallet are your keys, which are supposed to be secret keys, not owned by you or not owned by another person or an exchange. You are supposed to write down your keys in a piece of paper and store that in a very safe place. And some people just give those keys away, and that's it. I think that the most vulnerable part of all this, like lack of, you know, people who lack the knowledge of what can be done with their keys, what can be done with if they receive an email saying, okay, lock here and send one Bitcoin to this address and you'll get an ROI. And people just do that. And that's social hacking. And to me, that's the weakest part of the chain, like people not being aware of the intention of our people.
Okay. Well, Anthony, we thank you for your time this morning. If our audience has further questions about the Bitcoin and so forth, what is the best way that they can get a hold of you?
The best way to get what, sorry?
To contact you.
Oh, yeah, of course. I can be contacted at anthony@roostrap.com. You guys can reach me out on LinkedIn, Anthony Figueroa. So feel free to send me a message. I love talking about tech stuff, about technology, machine learning, blockchain, anything that's new and exciting.
Sounds excellent. Anthony, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Ravi.
Thank you.